Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Giving you a behind-the-scenes look of Smashville's team. This is Preds Insiders with Adam Vingan. Smashville lives here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Adam Vingan here with you on Wednesday night, joined as always by Nick Keezer, and this week my guest, Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean. Hello, Alex.
Hello, how are ya?
I am outstanding. The Nashville Predators wrapped up their three-game road trip with a 6-3 win in Boston against the Bruins. A three-point night for Ryan O'Reilly. A three-point night for Steven Stamkos. Steven Stamkos, who had 0 points in his previous 13 games, gets on the score sheet for the first time since January 23rd and factors on half of Nashville's goals and reached the 600-assist milestone in doing so. So the Predators, they start off this road trip. They lose to the Islanders. And by the way, if you have a friend, or had a friend, because this is a hypothetical, if you had a friend who is a diehard Predators fan, and they unfortunately fell into a coma on July 2nd, they're excited about all of the free agent signings, and then something terrible happened.
Mm.
And they wake up the day after the regular season ends, and they say to you, how did the Predators season go?
Mm-hmm.
Show them the end of the Islanders game. Show them the end of that game where Steven Stamkos, I believe it was Steven Stamkos, right? Misses a pass to Brady Shea that goes into the Predators' empty net.
Yep.
And Elias Sorokin gets credit for a goalie goal. That play, just show that to your friend who's in a coma in this hypothetical scenario. And that several second stretch typifies this Nashville Predator season.
It was very perfect that it ended that way. And it's the first goalie goal against the Predators in history, right? I can't recall one. I'm pretty sure. Even though it's technically not a shot from the goalie, right? It's the Chris Mason.
I was about to say, this is the
level.
Chris Mason situation. No disrespect to our good friend Chris Mason.
No.
He does go down in history as having a goalie goal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because somebody else touched it and it went into the empty net. This was not a Pecorine situation. And indeed, it was Steven Stamkos who passed the puck into his own empty net with roughly 12 seconds left in the third period. But Steven Stamkos has a good night on Tuesday for the Predators. The Predators return home to take on the Seattle Kraken tomorrow. But the one thing that we're all focused on, Alex, is the trade deadline. The trade deadline is Friday afternoon. The Nashville Predators made a trade over the weekend, trading Gus Nyquist to the Minnesota Wild for a 2026 second-round draft pick. And I'll be honest with all of you. When Elliot Friedman reported that there was something in the works, I tried to predict what the return would be, and I landed on a conditional fifth-round pick. I don't know how I landed there, but I thought that the best the Predators could do for Gus Nyquist was maybe a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick that turns into a fourth-round pick, depending on certain conditions.
I was convinced it would be a fourth, yeah.
So when they were able to get a second-round pick for Gus Nyquist, whose production cratered this season, a lot of Predators players' production cratered the season, but Gus Nyquist especially, from a career-high 75-point season at, what, age 34. We all knew he wasn't going to be able to do that again, probably, but we certainly didn't expect to be this bad. Correct me if I'm wrong, 9 goals this season, 4 into an empty net.
4 empty net goals, yeah. And I think there was even one of the 5 goals he scored on a goalie. I want to say the goalie wasn't even, like, it was like a wide open net kind of situation. It was like he's basically beat the goalie like 4 times this year.
Our expert researcher, Nick Heiser, has confirmed that Ilya Sorokin's goalie goal was the first scored against the Nashville Predators in franchise history. But Gus Nyquist, a second-round pick, the second time in his career he's been traded at the deadline to the Minnesota Wild. Back in 2023, he was traded from the Blue Jackets to the Wild, and the Wild gave up a fifth-round pick in that trade. Now, if I recall correctly, Gus Nyquist was injured at the time he was traded to Minnesota.
Yeah.
So maybe that had something to do with the return.
I also thought, when I saw the second-round pick return, do you remember the Nino Niederreiter trade at the end of David Poile's era, sort of the beginning of the end of David Poile? And,
yes.
And then that's when, you know, that was shortly thereafter they got all what they did for the Tanner Jeannot trade. Yeah, that was also a second-round pick. They got a second-round pick for Nino Niederreiter. He had 18 goals with the Predators that year and was a middle six kind of winger scorer.
And he had term, if I'm not mistaken.
And he had term. And I think also, I think a lot of people thought that was, people were disappointed with that. They could have gotten more. I think the second-round pick at that time, I remember thinking that was about right for Nino Niederreiter. So anyways, my point is, they got the same amount of return for Gus Nyquist, who had half the amount of goals and really, really less than that they did for Nino Niederreiter 2 years ago. And like you said, what was a fifth round for Gus Nyquist is what the Wild
when
paid.
He was traded the first time at the deadline in 2019 when he left the Red Wings and went to the Sharks. And by the way, I remember I thought Gus Nyquist was primed to be a Nashville Predators player back in 2019. I was like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I pre-wrote my Predators trade for Gus Nyquist story just to have it in case. But in 2019, he was traded from the Red Wings to the Sharks for a 2019 second-round pick and a 2020 conditional third-round pick. In 2023, he was traded from the Blue Jackets to the Wild for a 2023 fifth-round pick. And, of course, he was traded over the weekend from the Predators to the Wild for a 2026 second-round pick. So one thing to keep in mind here as well is that the Predators are retaining half of Gus Nyquist's salary in this transaction. They have used all three of their retention slots this season. NHL teams are only allowed to retain salary on three players per season. Now, two of the three that the Predators are retaining salary on will expire at the end of the season: Gus Nyquist and Ryan Johansson. Now, Ryan Johansson had his grievance hearing with the Flyers last week, so there should be a resolution in the not-too-distant future, but it's not going to happen before Friday.
And it also doesn't really matter at this point.
Right.
Right? I mean, because the Predators are not buying, and the money's going to go away anyways. It's kind of a waste, really, because you wanted to see... You would much rather have had that money earlier in the season than here at the end when it doesn't really matter. But either way, it does matter. It just it doesn't really affect anything for the Predators at this time of the year.
The third player is Mattias Ekholm. They are retaining, I want to say, $250,000 of Mattias Ekholm's contract through the end of next season. So
one of the rare times when the amount of money is actually not the issue, it's the retention spot. Like I bet the retention spot value is better than $250,000. It's almost like you wish you would have just I mean, not that you want to retain more, but it's such a waste to just hold that spot.
It's a strange amount of money to hold, $250,000. But we digress. The Predators cannot retain salary on another trade. So if they need to retain salary on a deal, it will have to involve a third team. And I wondered if a third team would be involved in this Nyquist trade. But ultimately, the Predators retained half of Nyquist's salary, so he is off to Minnesota for the second time in his career. And we will remember Gus Nyquist fondly. He was a nice guy. He is a nice guy. He's not dead. He is a nice guy. He's just not here anymore. He is a nice guy. Had a great season last season playing on the top line with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. That line really clicked. Gus Nyquist had a career year, again, 75 points in his mid-30s. I can't imagine that happens too often. This season was just disastrous for everybody, but especially Gus Nyquist.
To your point about him being a nice guy, he came in sixth in Lady Byng Trophy voting.
Last season?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
I didn't realize it. I just looked at it, but yeah, Nice guy confirmed.
That's the sportsmanship award for those of you who don't quite know what the Lady Bing is, which is a strange award for reporters to vote on. I think officials should vote on the Lady Bing since they're the ones being cursed at on a nightly basis. But Gus Nyquist, all right. Well, good for him. And hopefully he does well in Minnesota. But I think the fact that the Predators were able to get a second round pick for a distressed asset in Gus Nyquist, Barry Trotz should give himself a pat on the back for that one. I thought he did a really good job there.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, the start of the sell-off, although you could call the Alex Carrier move part of that too, but this is definitely the beginning of the sell-off for the Predators, and I'm sure we're going to talk about what else could be out the door.
Yes, we will do that because the NHL trade deadline is Friday afternoon. We expect more action from the Nashville Predators. We'll talk about the trade deadline from their perspective coming up next. We will also talk about the trade deadline around the league later in the program. But the NHL trade deadline, just a couple of days away. We'll get into that more coming up next. Adam Vingan with Alex Daugherty this week. This is Preds Insiders 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan joined by Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean this week. The Nashville Predators are back in action tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena against the Seattle Kraken. A Saturday night in Smashville against the Blackhawks. And then the Predators head to California for three games against the Sharks, Ducks, and Kings. The NHL trade deadline is Friday, so just a couple of days away. The first domino has fallen, Gus Nyquist, which was the easiest one to predict. He was the quintessential trade deadline pickup. Veteran on an expiring contract, plenty of playoff experience, can do a lot of different things for your team. So Gus Nyquist off to Minnesota with John Hines. The question is, who could be next for the Nashville Predators? Who else could be on the move? There are a couple of names we've talked about over the past couple of weeks. Let's start with Big Sexy himself, Michael McCarron. Michael McCarron, to me, as I've said before, there are statistics for everything these days. Underlying numbers that you didn't even know existed. But when it comes to being 6 foot six and 230 plus pounds, GMs still love big, meaty men. And that's what Michael McCarron is. And he's cheap. He's $900,000 per season through next season, if I'm not mistaken. So you would be getting him theoretically for two playoff runs. And look, Michael McCarron, despite being big sexy, isn't a sexy player in the sense that he doesn't do anything that wows you. Now, he'll stand up for his teammates. He'll throw big hits. You can trust him in certain defensive situations. But you need, let me rephrase that. GMs believe they need players like that. We just saw a similar player, Trent Frederick. Trent Frederick was traded on Tuesday from the Bruins to the Oilers. And Trent Frederick fits that mold. He's not 6 foot six, but he's a gritty guy who can chip in some offense and he can play in your middle six. And Michael McCarron would be someone's fourth line center. But someone would pay, I bet, for Michael McCarron to be their fourth line center, especially when you consider how cheap he is contract-wise.
He has the coveted inches above 6 feet stat in that he is 6 inches above 6 feet. That is the stat that a lot of GMs this time of year and coaches are wanting to have on their roster. He also has some skill. I think the other thing is you want strength up the middle, and you know he is a pretty good faceoff guy. Like, I was actually surprised. I always knew he was a decent faceoff guy. Like, he's a career 52.8% free throw faceoff percent guy, which is, you know, quite good for a guy who takes a lot of defensive draws, a lot of neutral zone and defensive draws, doesn't get a lot of time in the offensive zone. Of course, he's going to hit. He's going to block. He's going to get in people's faces. He plays about 13 minutes a night, so it's not like he's out there all the time or anything. The offensive numbers are clearly not great. He's a career like 8% shooter or something like that. So he's not a shooter. He's not really a passer either. But I think that the Predators should definitely capitalize now on some interest that might be out there, even if the return is pretty poor. Now, I did hear some reports that Barry Trotz was only really interested in trading him if it was an overpay, which I think is how it was worded. And I'm blanking on who said that. It may have been Frank Saravalli. I'm not actually sure. But, I mean, I think now would be the time, if you're going to capitalize on Michael McCarron trading him. I mean, it's not like his value is going to go up next year if you're in a situation where you could trade him again. And he's very cheap. I feel the same way about Luke Shen, who we can talk about, too, as a potential trade target. And those are the two, of the potential trade assets on the Nashville Predators right now, those are the two I think are most likely to go, is Michael McCarron and Luke Shen. I would put McCarron first on that list, and in fact, I did make a list of players I think are most likely to be traded, and McCarron is number one for me. Because of all the things we talked about, he's got size, he can do some physical things, and it's just like that. This is the time of year when GMs love to say, we got tougher, we got stronger, we got more depth at the deadline. They know they can't go out and get a 30-goal winger at the deadline, usually. They're going to have to get something like a Michael McCarron. So I think that's probably what will happen.
Let's discuss Colton Sissons. We've talked about Colton Sissons, and when we had Elliot Freeman on last week on the Midday Show, he brought up Colton Sissons unprompted, and that's the first time I've heard Elliot Freeman mention Colton Sissons as a potential trade target. We know what Colton Sissons has meant to this team.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think how many games he has played in a Predators uniform. He's near the top of the franchise leaderboard. He's been a member of this organization for so long. I remember when he wore number 84.
Yeah.
That's how far back you have to go. And losing Colton Sissons from a sentimental standpoint would be hard, I think, for the Predators as well as for a lot of their fans. But similarly to McCarron, not as big as McCarron, obviously, but versatile. We've seen it here. He can play any forward position. You can put him on any line. Ideally, he's on your third line, I would say. He kills a ton of penalties. He has shown he can be clutch in the postseason. His hat trick against the Anaheim Ducks in the Western Conference Final will go down in Predators history.
Top three moment, top two moment.
It's up there. It's absolutely up there. Now, he did have the moment where he missed the empty net against the Canucks, which may cancel out the clutch gene from 2017.
So. I don't think it cancels it out. It certainly is a factor, but I don't think it cancels it out.
But Colton Sissons has meant so much to this organization. And Elliot Freeman brought up something interesting, Alex, something I hadn't thought about. So his cap hit is under $3 million, but his salary for next season is even lower than that. I want to say it's under $2 million. So for teams that may not want to pay actual cash or too much actual cash, you can get Colton Sissons for cheaper, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you still have the 2.6-ish or 2.8-ish million-dollar cap hit on your books, but in terms of the actual check you have to cut Colton Sissons, it's lower than that. And yeah. Elliot Freeman said that matters to some teams, so that might be appealing to others as well.
I think he called it cash under cap.
I think that's what it was, yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting part. And he's signed through the next season, so he's not just a rental. That's appealing to people. I think so. The only reason I think Colton Sissons is a better player than Michael McCarron. That's pretty clear to me. He's more versatile. He's a better offensive player. He can do more things. But the problem is, I think the Predators are going to have a really tough time trading him away, just from a sentimental standpoint. And they do not want to just trade the guy just for like peanuts, just because, you know, hey, maybe we can get a fifth round pick out of the guy, because he's meant so much to the team for so long. He's one of the few players on the roster that played for every coach, including Barry Trotz. He's played for every coach in Nashville Predators history. Barry Trotz, Peter Laviolette, John Hines, and now Andrew Brunette. He didn't play very much with Barry Trotz. He only played a few games, but that's it. That means a lot. You know, he's basically like the, you know, Pecorine and Roman Josi and Shea Weber. He's in that kind of category of longtime veteran popular players. He doesn't get the namesake of those guys, or he doesn't have the stats of those guys, but he really just gets a lot, should get a lot more credit for what he brings. The problem is he had a career year last year, 35 points, 15 goals, 20 assists, playing on that fourth line with Michael McCarron and Kiefer Sherwood. And just this year, it has fallen off considerably. Now, he has been better recently to improve those numbers. I think he has like 4 or 5 points in his last like maybe 10 games or something like that.
An impressive goal against the Islanders over the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. A little chip the other way, and then kind of a backhander. That was nice. So he's improved his stock a little bit. I don't have any read on what you could actually get in a return for him. I mean, if you can get a second for Gus Nyquist, I feel like you could get that for Colton Sissons, but maybe not that high. I don't know. What would you guess is the value for a Colton Sissons on the market right now?
That's a good question. I would say I would start at a third round pick.
Okay.
I think. It depends on the acquiring team and what their cap situation is, if they would prefer a rental versus someone who signed through next season, yeah. Although it's not a huge cap hit.
I was just going to mention this. Scott Laughton is a name that's out there. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia Flyers are probably dealing Scott Laughton. Kind of a similar player. Similar age, similar output in points. He's $3 million cap hit. He's signed through next year. I wonder if they are waiting for Scott Laughton to be dealt to see what his price is in order to
set
find
the
out.
Market.
Set the market, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not exactly a perfect comparison. It's about as close as you can get, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. Quickly, you mentioned Luke Shen. There were reports, again, from Elliot Friedman that there were teams wondering if they could reunite the Shen brothers. Of course, Luke's brother, Braden Shen, the captain of the St. Louis Blues. If you can find someone to take Luke Shen, do it. Now, the idea of what this defense corps would look like for the rest of the season without Luke Shen, let's just take a second.
Yeah.
This was the Predators' starting defense against the Bruins. Brady Shea and Nick Blankenberg, Mark Delgaiso and Luke Shen, Andreas Englund and Spencer Stastny. Now imagine you take Luke Shen out of that with Roman Josi week to week with an injury.
You're Justin Barron's getting 30 minutes a night.
Oh,
baby.
My God. That's nightmare fuel. So,
I mean...
If you can find someone to take Luke Shen, again, he checks off the boxes of all of the intangibles that teams want. He hits, he's a veteran, he's played in big playoff games,
yep.
All of those things. So if someone wants to take Luke Shen off your hands, go right ahead.
I have this vision that he's going back to Toronto. Why would the Maple Leafs not want to reunite with Luke Shen, right?
For the third time?
I think so, yeah, because he drafted there, then he went back,
yep.
And then now this would be the third time.
Yeah, third time might be the charm for Luke Shen in Toronto, but those are some of the names that are out there for the Nashville Predators. We'll see what happens between now and Friday at the NHL trade deadline. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, we're going to take a look at the league, some of the big names that could be on the move before the deadline on Friday. Some intriguing possibilities. We'll do that next. This is Adam Vingan with Alex Daugherty. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan here with you. Alex Daugherty from the Tennessean as well. Predators return to play tomorrow at home against the Seattle Kraken. Of course, all coverage right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The NHL trade deadline is Friday afternoon. We just broke down what we think the Predators could do. Let's take a look around the NHL. We've already seen a couple of big moves, I would say. There was one, of course, several weeks ago with Mikko Rantanen being moved from Colorado to Carolina. And Mikko Rantanen, by the way, back on the trade boards, which we'll get into in a second. Alex, I would love your opinion on a former Predators player who was on the move a few days ago. Seth Jones. Seth Jones traded from the Chicago Blackhawks to the Florida Panthers, a first-round pick back to the Blackhawks. Spencer Knight, the young goaltender, heads to Chicago as well. I believe the Blackhawks are retaining $2.5 million of Seth Jones' salary. So Seth Jones, a $7 million player for the Florida Panthers, and he's under contract for several more seasons.
They're retaining it for the life of the contract, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I do not believe you can retain it for only a portion of the contract. Yeah, they have to retain it for the entirety of the contract, which I'm trying to see when it runs through. His contract does not expire until 2030. So that's a lot of retained salary for the Chicago Blackhawks. But Seth Jones, his career arc has been interesting to me, Alex.
Yeah.
Of course, he's drafted by the Predators, number four, I want to say, in 2013. Comes here, and he's playing behind Shea Weber and Roman Josi and Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis. So he was never going to have that opportunity to crack the top pair for this team. He was a luxury for the Nashville Predators. At one point, he was on the third pair with Barrett Jackman. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Barrett Jackman with Seth Jones? Remember Barrett Jackman at all? I can't remember which season that was. I guess it would have been 2015-16. He gets traded for Ryan Johansson. Spends a few years in Columbus. Signs a huge deal with the Chicago Blackhawks. And for years, he was on the list of worst contract in the NHL. If there was a listicle of the worst contracts in the NHL, Seth Jones was on it. If he was not number one, he was certainly on the list. And I feel like his reputation certainly took a hit. He was playing for some bad teams. And I'm interested to see what happens with him in Florida. We've seen players go to Florida, and resurrect their careers. And in Florida, he's not going to have to be the number one defenseman playing all of the tough minutes. They have Aaron Ekblad. They have Gus Forsling. He doesn't have to be the man on the back end in Florida. I think it's a good spot for him. I really like Seth Jones as a person and as a player, and I'm intrigued to see what his career looks like now that he's on the team. That's one, good, and two, that is built enough on the back end that he doesn't have to play, 25, 26, 27 minutes a night.
You know, the Seth Jones part of this, I haven't done a lot of thinking about what this is going to do for him in Florida, because I think I assume, like you have said, that he will probably be pretty successful as he doesn't have to be the main guy. I actually really like this move for the Blackhawks and what this does for them, because they get Spencer Knight, a goaltender, and a first-round pick in return. Now, they do retain the salary, but I can actually see how this makes perfect sense for them, because now they have... Spencer Knight probably is their best... is now the Chicago Blackhawks' best, in general, their best goaltender they've had since Corey Crawford.
They have
maybe
four goaltenders under contract right now. Spencer Knight, Peter Mrazek, Laurent Brossoit, who I don't think has played this season, and Arvid Soderblom.
So he's definitely their best goaltender right now.
Right.
But I'm saying I think he's even their best goaltender that they've had since Corey Crawford.
Certainly the pedigree of Spencer Knight. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. And I think that... So, and he's young, too. What is he, 27? 20,
he's 23.
No, 23. 23, yeah. Wow.
He missed some time because he was in the NHLPA player assistance program, so he missed some time.
That's right. For Chicago, moving forward, now they have, they've got Connor Bedard, obviously. They've got a goaltender in Spencer Knight. They already drafted a top defenseman in Levshinov last year, so we'll see on that. But you can see, the thinking is, they need to start building up pieces all over the place. They can't just say, we got Connor Bedard, we're good. They're going to start building up, and then they get the first-round pick. So I like this trade a lot for Chicago, and they get out of potentially, like we've said, the worst contract in the NHL with Seth Jones. It's weird that it just didn't work out there. I mean, the Chicago has been kind of a mess, but Kyle from Chicago,
yes,
he made it work. I think he did a good trade here.
I keep forgetting that you were the producer of that viral content.
That's right.
Yeah. That was great, by the way.
that was a
fantastic man on the street interview.
I did reach out to them to do a follow-up interview with Kyle from Chicago, and they declined my request.
Well, I think it's one of those things where it doesn't need a sequel. Like, I think the original was so good, you don't want to do a sequel. You don't want to tarnish what you created.
I would be willing to try it and see if it worked, but yeah, you're probably right.
So Seth Jones off to sunny Florida with the Panthers. We mentioned Mikko Rantanen. He's already been traded once this season. He was traded from the Avalanche to the Hurricanes in a gigantic deal that involved Marty Natchez going to Colorado. But there has been innuendo that the Hurricanes might have to consider trading him again. Rantanen, that is. Because they have not seem to find common ground on a contract. Now, also keep in mind that Mikko Rantanen, you know, was traded, and I believe the Hurricanes were barely home after he was traded. Then there was the Four Nations face-off, so he really hasn't had time to settle into his new surroundings. But Elliot Freeman reported a couple of weeks ago that the Hurricanes made him an offer into the nine digits overall. The question a lot of people are wondering is, after what happened last season with Jake Guentzel, they trade for Jake Guentzel and ultimately do not re-sign him. They traded his rights the day before free agency to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I believe they got a third-round pick back, so they got something back. But they don't want to put themselves, theoretically, in this position again. I'm not sure we'll see another Mikko Rantanen move, because the one thing the Hurricanes haven't been able to do in the postseason, they've won a playoff round, I want to say, in each of the past 6 years. You can almost guarantee a Carolina Hurricanes first round win. But they haven't been able to get over the hump. The two times they've made the conference final in that span, they've been swept both times. They were swept by the Bruins and they were swept by the Panthers. And the one thing that the Hurricanes have struggled to do in the playoffs is score big goals. And Mikko Rantanen, who's averaged more than a point per game in his playoff career, can score big goals. So if you're the Hurricanes, do you take the risk? We acquired this guy to get over the hump in the playoffs. If he doesn't want to stay, we at least took a shot. Mm-hmm. Or do you count your losses? You don't want another high-profile rental to walk out the door. What do you do if you're Carolina?
I think you have to hold him and not trade him away and see if it works out, because there's better odds that he puts it together and scores a bunch of goals for you and helps you win a playoff round. And then if that happens, he's probably more endeared himself to the team. He's probably more on board with it. He's probably more bought in and said, you know what? We did a pretty good job. I'm enjoying this. This is good. Let me sign here. But man, I was trying to think, I don't think there's been a high-profile player, certainly not as high-profile as Mikko Rantanen. It's been traded twice in the middle of a season. Can you think of any?
I can't recall one off the top of my
there's
head.
There's probably a handful of you know, nobodies that are getting traded multiple times. That probably happens.
Certainly not a player of Rantanen's stature.
Yeah. And so that would be pretty rare, and also would signal a pretty big failing on the part of the Carolina Hurricanes that I think they probably wouldn't want to just jump into a month later. The other side of this is just how does Colorado just keep doing this, where they have you know, we remember the Matt Duchene situation where it looked like they were never going to get what they could out of Matt Duchene. What was that, in 2017?
It was the season that the Predators acquired Kyle Turris, so yeah. It would have been 2017.
And they ended up getting a lot out of that. I mean, they got Sam Girard and picks and everything. And then they had this situation where Mikko Rantanen needs a contract, and they just upgraded and got Marty Nichas, who has 13 points in 13 games with them.
He looks great with Nathan MacKinnon.
And looks
but
really
But it's hard
good.
Not to look great when you're playing with Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I mean, but to answer your question, I think Carolina should hold him, just cling to hope and see if you can get anything out of the Eastern Conference, which outside of Florida is like, you know, could you win a couple rounds? I mean, Florida is obviously the team that you expect to come out of the East, but could Carolina surprise some folks and go to the Eastern Conference final? I don't know.
As we record this, we have some interesting news from Elliot Friedman. Hearing Florida and San Jose are discussing a Vitek Vanacek deal. Vanacek backed up last night to avoid injury. Panthers look to add a goalie following the Spencer Knight trade. Vitek Vanacek has bounced around the league quite a bit. That doesn't grab your eyeballs in the way that Amigo Rantanen trade.
Now, wouldn't that be his second time traded this year? We were just talking about that.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Vitek Vanacek, unfortunately for him, not on the same level as Amigo Rantanen.
No.
Quickly, Alex, what player would you like to see traded at the trade deadline? Not necessarily a location. You don't have to go that far. But is there a player that's rumored to be available that you would like to see moved?
Okay, so I'm looking at TSN's trade bait board. That's always what I go with. They have a very frequently updated trade bait board, and this is what I always go to. And their number one on the list is Brock Nelson.
Of the Islanders.
I think that seems like it's probably going to happen, right? And I think I'd like to see Brock Nelson get traded somewhere and go win something. I think that would be pretty interesting.
Brock Nelson is a good player. He's not a player who grabs a lot of headlines. He's just a quietly solid player.
Yeah.
And when you play for the Islanders, sometimes you can become a bit anonymous.
There was a time earlier in the season, maybe like October, when we just assumed that the Predator season would turn out better than it did, that I thought, hey, Brock Nelson be a good little deadline ad for the Predators if they have the cap room for it. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So I will tell you who my player is. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the show. Adam Vingan with Alex Daugherty this week. This is Preds Insiders 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This takes me back to middle school dances. Crazy town.
It takes me back to high school dances.
You are a smidge older than me.
This is true.
This song was wildly inappropriate for middle school dances, but nevertheless. Speaking of crazy town, the NHL trade deadline. It's on Friday, and maybe we'll see some crazy things. Who knows? So, Alex, before the break, I asked you, who would you like to see traded at the NHL trade deadline? You said Brock Nelson, who plays for the Islanders. The Islanders are sort of stuck in the mud. They've been stuck in the mud for a long time. That's just sort of their default setting. Brock Nelson, a quietly solid player. I agree. Would like to see him on a marquee team in important playoff games. Here's my answer. And it's top of mind because I just wrote about him on Sportsnet.ca. I would love to see Trevor Zegras traded. Trevor Zegras has been on trade boards for seemingly forever at this point. And Trevor Zegras, he was the hottest thing going 3-4 years ago. Remember the sweet pass he had from behind the net in Buffalo for Sonny Milano? And he was on the cover of the NHL video game, had back-to-back 60-point seasons in his early 20s. And then his star has dimmed considerably. He's been hurt. He's missed half of the Ducks games, more than half of the Ducks games, I should say, over the past two seasons. But in doing some research on Trevor Zegras, I do think that he is salvageable. I think there are elements of his game that, if given a fresh start, maybe he doesn't reach the 60-point threshold that he did a couple of seasons ago, but I still think he can be a useful player. Now, I'm sure you've received plenty of tweets and texts and things from Predators fans. Go get Trevor Zegras. He's a popular, if my team needs a young center, let's go trade for Trevor Zegras. He's a popular choice for that. And by the way, he's mostly been playing wing for the Ducks.
Yeah, that's always what I point out is people call him a center. He very clearly should be primarily a wing.
I did the count. In his 35 games this season, he has started as a winger 27 times.
Yeah.
So he can play center, but the Ducks have been using him on the wing.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious if a change of scenery would really do him some good. I do think, again, that there are elements of his game that are still there. I mean, he has not been available. I mean, think about the injuries that he's had. He broke his ankle in a game here, by the way.
Yep, I remember that.
He just came back from knee surgery. He tore his meniscus. He just came back from that. He suffered a serious lower body injury right before he broke his ankle against the Predators. So he's been out of the lineup. He has three lower body injuries over the past few years. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't even turned 24. And that's why I'm like, I think that if a team is willing to take the plunge with a fresh start, maybe they can get him back to where he was. Now, I know that Trevor Zegras is not a Selke Trophy candidate. His defensive game is never going to be his strength. But I say this all the time about players who are considered one-dimensional. If they are fabulous at that one dimension, I'm okay with that. And I think Trevor Zegras has great playmaking ability. It's just that we haven't seen a lot of it because he's been hurt. So I would like to see the Ducks move him. I'm curious about what they would get for him. Like, I think his value is pretty low.
Yeah.
But I imagine the Ducks are not eager to just give him away. So I'm curious what the return on a trade for Trevor Zegras would be. But I would just like to see him move so we can stop talking about, hey, is Trevor Zegras ever gonna reach his potential with the Ducks? I'm not sure it's going to happen with the Ducks. I think it would happen somewhere else.
I do not think that he will get traded, but I would. I think that it would. I agree with you. I think it would be really interesting to see if he landed somewhere else. You know, one thing Barry Trotz talks about a lot with young players in particular is what is your separating skill set? What is the thing that makes you better than everyone else at? What thing are you better at than everyone else? What's the thing that's going to keep you in the NHL? For Connor McDavid, it's a lot of things, but like for certain players, it's like there's a certain skill set you have that just separates you from everyone else, and that's your thing. You're a good shooter. You got a lot of speed. You're good defensively, whatever it is. And I think Zegras has those things. Like you said, this plays playmaking. I think he's a good shooter, even though he hasn't been shooting well recently. I think he's a good shooter, and it's like sort of the creative playmaking sort of vision in the offensive end that I think is really key. I just think that the injuries are concerning. I mean, that's a lot of injuries, even though one of them's a broken, ankle or foot or whatever it was.
He had a broken ankle, a torn meniscus,
yeah,
and a unspecified lower body injury. But it was serious enough that he missed 20 games.
I think the knee injuries are definitely more concerning. I mean, a young player having multiple knee injuries that are keeping him out of the lineup is probably more concerning than anything with like a broken ankle where it's just like an impact thing. He seems to me like a perfect candidate for a play out this contract, get a low, he's an RFA, so I guess he has to get that minimum unless they don't.
I want to say that he's definitely on a bridge contract. He will be a restricted free agent when his contract expires.
But they have to match the
right.
cap.
And I think he
5.7.
is 1 year out of free agency when his contract expires.
Right. So
unrestricted free agent.
So, I mean, so if either they trade him and get, like you said, a low value out of him, or they don't qualify him at 5.7 and he walks, and then he signs. If that happens, that would be pretty bad for the Ducks. But if that happens, he's a perfect candidate to sign for like a $2 million a year contract, low value, low expectations. Then you could see him going somewhere and really having success. But I don't know. Zegras is just, to me, it's fool's gold at this point. I think it's just, it was a cool couple years, but I don't know that I believe it.
It's a good question. I think there are elements of his game that are salvageable. I would love to see what a change of scenery could do for him, but I don't know if a trade at the deadline is likely. Maybe that's more of a summer deal. But nevertheless, the NHL trade deadline is Friday. We will have all coverage of the NHL trade deadline as it relates to the Predators right here on 102.5, 106.3. The game, the Predators return to action tomorrow night at home against the Seattle Kraken. Alex, always a pleasure to have you, my friend, talking Predators. We'll do it again soon. Penalty Box Radio is coming up next. Adam Vingan, Alex Daugherty, Nick Kieser. This is Preds Insiders 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.